injured and is in the hospital. She's going to make a full recovery, but it's going to take time. Take me to her. He wiped the tears from his face. Please take me to her, right now. Let's go. Sam held the door for him as he rolled back into the office. My girlfriend, Angel, he said haltingly to an older man whose beer belly made his tie about 6 inches too short. She was abducted and assaulted. She's in the hospital. You're just back from medical leave and now you're going again? Please, Roberto whispered. She's my whole world. She needs me. She'll still need you after work. What's your name? Sam asked the guy. Jeff. She pulled her notebook from her pocket. Jeff what? Why do you want to know? Pen poised on the pad, she said, so I can report your lack of compassion to the mayor, who's a friend of my husband's. Jeff's face flushed with a color reminiscent of the shade that Lieutenant Stahl's face would get when she challenged him back in the good old days before he tried to kill her. Twice. That won't be necessary. I'm sure we can work something out. Go ahead, Roberto. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. Sam stashed her pad in her back pocket and nodded to Jeff, who glared at her as she pushed Roberto's chair to get him out of there faster. That was awesome, Gonzo said when they were in the hallway. Mean people suck. Can't believe you played the husband card, Gonzo said. I saved that one for when I really need it. Well done, Lieutenant. Sam moved as fast as she could to get Roberto out of City Hall and to the car. He got himself into the front seat, and Gonzo stashed the chair in the trunk. Sam took the back seat. Tell me everything that happened, Roberto said. Don't leave anything out. I think you should hear it from her. That means it's gotta be real bad. It is, Sam said. He began to weep softly again, which broke her heart. Sam took a gamble and texted Jeannie to see if she might be able to come in early and talk to Angel before her shift. Jeannie didn't reply right away, but she would when she woke up, and Sam felt confident that she'd be willing to help. She also sent a text to Nick. This case gets more screwed up by the minute. The girl that was taken is the girlfriend of my friend Roberto from the Johnson case. He responded right away. Ah, damn, babe. So sorry to hear that. She's badly hurt, but she saw their faces, and she may be the key to breaking this whole thing. I hope so. When will I see you? Later. Much later. Okay, be careful. Love you. Love you too. When they arrived back at GW, Sam pushed Roberto's chair into the hospital and took him up to Angel's room, where the patrol officers on duty asked for identification from all three of them. I can vouch for him, Sam said of Roberto. He's her boyfriend. I know them. Go ahead, Lieutenant. Sam held the door for Roberto as he rolled into Angel's room. He took one look at her, bruised and battered in the bed, and began crying again. Oh, baby. Oh, my God. Angel held out her hand to him, and they cried, their heads bent together. Roberto wrapped an arm around her and kissed her forehead while whispering softly to her. Watching them, Sam felt like she was coming out of her skin. She walked over to place a hand on Roberto's shoulder. I'll be back to check on you guys in a little while. He pulled back from Angel to look up at Sam. Thanks for coming to get me, Lady Cup. Anything for you. To Angel, she said, I'm going to need your help. Whatever I can do. I have an idea I need to run up the flagpole at headquarters. I'll be back to discuss it with you. I'll be here. Let's go, Sam said to Gonzo. What's this big idea? He asked in the elevator. Angel said that one of them got a call while they were in the car that his mother died. What do you think about making the rounds of the local funeral homes who are hosting wakes for women old enough to have a son in his 20s with the first initial of D?
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Let's see what the brass thinks of it.
I don't like it,
Farnsworth said an hour later, after Sam laid out her idea for him and Malone. It feels disrespectful to me, marching into the middle of a family's grief to look for a suspect.
It wouldn't have to be disrespectful, Malone said. We take the young woman who was attacked, and we let her have a look at the mourners to see if she recognizes anyone.
And how do we keep her safe while she's doing that? Farnsworth asked. That'd be my job, Sam said.
It can't be you, Malone said. Everyone knows who you are. It'd have to be someone like Gonzo, who could pretend to be her significant other.
I want it to be me, Sam said. It was my idea. I can keep her safe.
You'll cause a stir that'll compromise the integrity of the investigation, Malone said. Everyone will be looking at you.
Yeah, and while they look at me, she can look at them.
I agree with the captain, Farnsworth said. It's not going to be you.
Fuming, Sam had to tell herself that it wasn't about her. It was about finding these scumbags and making them pay for what they'd done. But once again, she longed for the good old days when no one knew who she was. Fine, whatever. Do we have your authorization to proceed? Farnsworth thought about it for a minute. With utmost respect to the deceased and their families, and the funeral directors are to be notified of what we're doing.
Understood.
She turned to leave the chief's office, nodding at his admin, Helen, on her way by. In the lobby, someone grabbed her arm, spun her around, and punched her in the face before she could begin to catch up to what was happening.
You fucking bitch! You ruined my life!
Lying on the floor, Sam could only see stars and didn't recognize the voice.
What the fuck are you doing, investigating your fellow officers?
Oh, she thought. Offenbach is home, and apparently he's heard he was busted having an affair when he was supposed to be at a conference. Oops, sucks to be him. Her face throbbed from where he'd punched her, but she stayed on the floor and pretended to be unconscious, while he continued to shriek about how she'd ruined his marriage and his career.
Heads up. You did that all on your own, pal.
It only took a few seconds, but it felt like much longer for other officers to intervene. Sam heard Malone's voice and Farnsworth's. She heard Offenbach being dragged away, still screaming about all the ways she'd ruined him. Then she heard Malone, close to her, and felt a hand on her shoulder.
Sam?
She opened her eyes and looked up at him.
Is he done? Are you okay?
Malone helped her sit up, wincing when he took a closer look at her face. That punch was gonna leave a mark.
Jesus, Sam, Farnsworth said.
Someone get some ice. Hurry! Sam sat in the middle of a sea of cops and let them tend to her. What choice did she have, surrounded as she was? Even Helen had come out to watch the show.
Let me through,
Gonzo said testily, stopping short at the sight of Sam on the floor.
What the hell?
Offenbach wasn't happy to see me. Can you imagine anyone not being happy to see me? Gonzo rolled his eyes and reached out a hand to her. Sam took it and let him haul her up. The ground seemed to shift beneath her feet, and only his arm around her kept her standing.
Easy, Tiger, he said. Get your bearings.
An ice pack was produced and pressed against her face. Sam winced from the pain and the cold.
I'm fine. Go about your lives, citizens.
We should probably take her in to be checked, Farnsworth said. She took a hell of a shot. You're not taking me anywhere but to the pit to resume the investigation. Under her breath, she said to Gonzo,
Get me out of here.
He took her by the arm and perp walked her back to the pit.
Conference room, she said.
Gonzo plopped her into a chair.
He just cold-cocked you?
Never saw it coming. I don't even know who he is. In a department of thousands, that wasn't uncommon. She knew a lot of people, but not everyone.
Apparently, he knows who you are,
Gonzo said with a laugh.
Keep the ice on it. It's gonna be a mess.
Great. Nick will freak out. I hope there's not a state dinner or something I have to go to this week.
Thankfully, the president is too busy trying to stay in office to host a state dinner.
Malone came into the conference room looking frazzled and furious.
Are you sure you're okay? Let me see.
I'm fine. Sam took the ice pack off her face to give him a better look. His expression turned thunderous.
Gonzo, take some photos of her injury so we have them.
I don't want to press charges, Sam said.
That's not your call.
The hell it isn't. The whole department will be talking about how I got a pass on punching Ramsey, but went after Offenbach. I'm not doing it. I won't cooperate.
You'll do what you're told, Lieutenant.
No charges, Captain. Do what you've got to from a disciplinary standpoint for the mess he made with his lies, but no assault charges. Between Stahl, Ramsey, Conklin, and now Offenbach, I'm not going to be able to show my swollen face around here before much longer. Cameron Green came into the pit, looking pressed and well-rested, wearing another dress shirt and tie. He did a double take when he saw the ice pack pressed to her face.
What happened?
Gonzo filled him in on the incident with Offenbach.
Holy crap. He just attacked you?
To Malone, he said, he'll be charged with assault, right?
The lieutenant tells me she won't cooperate with assault charges, Malone said, sarcasm dripping from his every word.
Why the hell not? Green asked. He can't just go around punching people.
It's like this, Gonzo said. Our lieutenant has done some punching of her own in the past, and she'd rather not press charges when she wasn't charged with assault when she did it. You see?
Ah, gotcha.
One thing you'll quickly learn, Malone said to Green, is your lieutenant likes to keep things interesting.
I already know that, Green said with a grin.
Why do you think I'm here?
I like him, Sam said. I like him so much. Malone shook his head, uttered something under his breath about her being unmanageable, and stormed off.
Is he pissed? Green asked.
Nah, Sam said. He loves me.
Sure he does, Gonzo said, chuckling.
It was nice to see him amused and making jokes the way he used to. If she had to take a punch to the face to make that happen, it was worth it.
What are you doing here? She asked Green.
It's not four yet.
I heard from Vega's army buddy, and he was willing to meet with me.
Where'd this meeting take place?
At a coffee shop in Alexandria.
In the future, Sam said, please let us know when you're meeting with someone so we'll know where to look if you don't come back.
Oh, right. Will do.
What'd you find out?
Vega is in rehab. Since he left the army, he's been spiraling with PTSD issues and alcoholism. A bunch of his buddies got together, held an intervention, and got him into treatment about 6 weeks ago. He didn't want anyone to know where he was, so they kept it quiet.
Were you able to confirm that he's at the rehab? Sam asked.
The friend had the admissions paperwork to prove it. I called the facility, but due to patient privacy laws, they couldn't confirm he was there.
I'd feel better if you had confirmation.
So would I. But there is one more thing his friend told me. While he was overseas, he was in a car accident that injured his shooting arm. Apparently, he developed a tremor that he still has, which would make it impossible to shoot with any kind of accuracy. Apparently, that was a big part of the downward spiral. Accepting the fact that what had made him special had been lost forever.
Wow, that's too bad, Gonzo said. I feel for the guy.
So do I, Sam said. Let me ask you this. Did the friend tell you about the tremor voluntarily, or did he get a sense of why you were asking?
We didn't really talk about the shootings.
I had told him we were interested in talking to Vega because of his expertise, not because we thought he was involved. When we couldn't find him, we became concerned. He rolled his hand, etc.
I think we can rule him out then, Sam said.
Well done, detective. Thank you for following up.
No problem.
As Sam began to update him on the latest developments and the plan to visit funeral homes, Freddy came rolling in.
Couldn't sleep, so here I am.
We need to get some lives around here, Sam said. He recoiled at the sight of her.
What the hell happened to you?
She filled him in on the incident with Offenbach, updated him on Angel's assault, and told him and Green about the funeral home plan.
Oh, God, poor Angel, Freddy said. And Roberto.
He's with her, and they'll get through this. Sam's phone rang, and she took the call from Jeannie McBride, who'd been through an ordeal similar to Angel's last year. Hey, Jeannie. Sam told her what had happened and asked if she'd be willing to go in to talk with Angel. I know it's a lot to ask, but I'd be happy to help. I know all too well what she's feeling today. I'll ask Michael to come with me so he can talk to Roberto. That'd be amazing. Thank you both so much. No problem. I'll be in after I see her. Take your time with her. We've got things covered here for now.
Will do.
That's a great idea, Sam, Freddy said after she ended the call. I have one every now and then. Speaking of my brilliant beyond brilliant ideas, let's get busy combing the local funeral listings for women old enough to have a son, first initial D, in his 20s. I want the name of any woman 35 or older who has died in the last 12 hours. If it's that recent, it's apt to be a while before the notices appear online, Green said. After a pause, he added, I worked at a funeral home in high school. All eyes landed on Green in stunned amazement. Who works at a funeral home in high school? Sam asked. Green laughed. My parents own a bunch of them. Funerals are the Green family business. And you ended up a homicide detective, Sam said. Isn't that a conflict of interest? The others laughed. Not if I don't suggest the families make use of the Green Lawn funeral homes. Green Lawn? Gonzo said, incredulous. That's your family? That'd be us. Holy shit. That's only the biggest funeral operation in the metro area. You guys own more than a few funeral homes. Green seemed uncomfortable with the direction the conversation had taken. Is that going to be a problem? He asked his new partner. Not for me, Gonzo said. It might actually be an asset, Sam said. How would you feel about accompanying Angel to a few wakes to see if she can ID her attacker? I'm happy to do whatever it takes to stop these guys. So how come you didn't go into the funeral business? Gonzo asked. Too depressing. After a beat, they all cracked up laughing at the irony of him choosing homicide over funerals. Chapter 26. I like him, Freddy said to Sam when they were in her office. He fits right in. I'm glad you think so. I'm impressed with his work so far, and with the way he seems to understand what he's navigating coming in here to take Arnold's place. Not everyone could do that successfully, but I think he's going to work out well. Agreed. Now I just have to find someone to take Tyrone's place. Any contenders? Sam gestured to a bulging file on her desk. I'm supposed to go through all these applications and narrow it down to three. Who has the time for that nonsense? He rolled his eyes. You want me to do it for you? Would you? Yes, I'll do it, he said with a long-suffering sigh as he took the file from her. Get me someone good. No drama queens or ass pains. I'll see what I can do, he said sarcastically. It might be nice to have another woman around here. We already have four. You say that like it's a bad thing. I was merely pointing out the existence of four female homicide detectives. Thank you for doing that math for me. You know it's not my thing. As they talked, she scrolled through her email and clicked on a message from the lab, with a report on the first car used in the shootings. Hot damn. The lab got some hairs and ruled out the owners of the car. They ran the DNA through the databases, but didn't get any hits. So that means our guys are first-time offenders. Or they're repeat offenders who've never been required to give DNA before. I'm gonna guess that they didn't start with gunning down innocent people for no good reason. I'll ask the lab to cross-match the DNA from the hairs to Angel's rape kit. We're closing in on these SOBs. She typed the request, asked the lab to give it highest priority, and pressed send. Perhaps the death in the family will keep our perps off the streets tonight, Freddy said. We can only hope for that, and sketches that'll get us some faces for these guys. As she said the words, a dizzy spell hit, making the room spin. She grasped the desk, hoping it would stop the sickening movement inside her head.
What's wrong?
Dizzy.
When was the last time you ate?
Sam couldn't recall. Suddenly, she was exhausted, starving, and craving some time with her husband and son. I'd like to go home for a little while. Give me a lift?
Sure, let's go.
Avery got home early for once, walking through the door just after 6:30. From upstairs, he could hear Shelby talking to the baby as she got him ready for bed. He dropped his work bag inside the door and headed up the stairs, eager to see Noah before he went to bed.
Hey,
he said when he walked into the room.
Look, Noah, Shelby said. There's Daddy.
He loved when she called him Daddy. It made his heart ache with a love so big it couldn't be contained.
Hey, buddy.
Avery leaned over the changing table for a better look at the baby. Noah squealed at the sight of him, his arms and legs thrashing about. Shelby laughed.
I think he wants Daddy to pick him up.
Daddy would love to.
Avery carefully lifted the squirming bundle from the changing table and snuggled him into his embrace, breathing in the clean baby scent that clung to his freshly washed hair.
Did you guys have a good day?
We had a great day, Shelby said as she cleaned up the room. After work, we went for a long walk. We stopped at the park, and we checked in on the ladies at the studio.
She referred to the bridal salon that she still owned. She'd turned the management of it over to others when she accepted the position with Nick and Sam. Avery moved about the spacious room, rubbing the baby's back and helping to settle him. Shelby called him a baby whisperer because he was so good at getting Noah to sleep. That was another title he loved. Hell, he loved everything about being part of this little boy's life, and he'd do just about anything to stay in his life for good. Working together, they got the baby settled in his crib, covered him with a light blanket, and turned on the Noah's Ark mobile that played nursery rhymes. Noah loved to watch the animals parade around over his head. They tiptoed out of the nursery, which adjoined their room, leaving the door ajar so they could hear him. Shelby also brought the portable half of the baby monitor that had a screen so she could watch him sleep, which she often did. She said it was much more interesting than anything on TV. Avery went into their room and pulled off his tie. He changed into a t-shirt and athletic shorts, his usual after-work uniform.
Are you hungry? Shelby asked.
Normally, he was starving by now, but his stomach was agitated from thinking about the conversation they needed to have. Food was the last thing on his mind. He sat on the bed, elbows propped on his legs, and dropped his head, hoping to relieve some of the tension that had gathered in his neck as he tried to find the words he needed.
Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right.
That wasn't how he'd imagined broaching the subject, but it was the truth.
What's wrong? Did something happen at work?
Work is fine.
He forced himself to look up at her.
Will you sit with me for a minute? I need to talk to you.
Sure, she said,
her brows furrowing in confusion. He found her adorable, even when confused. Taking hold of her hand, he brought it to his lips, buying himself another minute to figure out what he should say.
Are you leaving us? She whispered.
The question stunned him.
What? No, I'm not leaving you. I'd never leave you.
You're scaring me with the way you're acting. Something is wrong.
Yes, something is wrong. And I can't be the only one who's noticed.
She looked at him blankly, which made him crazy. How could she not know what he meant?
Between us, Shelby.
Oh.
Avery forced himself to press on, to put it out there, to give voice to the worries that had been keeping him awake at night.
You know I've been seeing Rosemary twice a week.
She nodded.
Today we talked about my relationship with you, or lack thereof. She said from the way I described it that we're living together but estranged.
I have to agree with her description.
Things have been busy, with Noah, and everything.
I know. Having a baby has been a big adjustment for both of us. You more than me, of course. But we can't blame what's happened between us on him. No, that's all my fault, because of what happened before he was born. I take full responsibility for the breakdown between us.
It's not just your fault. It's mine, too.
How do you figure?
I'm so caught up in Noah that I haven't had much time for you.
It's more than that, Shelby.
He sighed.
It's like our romantic relationship ended the day I screwed up. And since then, we've been platonic roommates who share a baby. She looked down at the floor, her shoulders sagging. I can't live like that forever. And you shouldn't have to either.
What are you saying? You want to break up? If you do, I hope you know that I'd never keep you from Noah. I know how much you love him.
The words came out in a rush, as if she'd practiced them. I don't want to break up. I want to go back to what we had before I screwed it all up. I want you. I want Noah. I want our family. But not like this, Shelby. Not with this awful abyss between us. I can't handle it anymore. It's killing me to sleep next to you every night and feel like I don't have a right to touch you. Dropping her hand, he put his arm around her and drew her in close to him. I want you back. I want us back. To his great horror and dismay, she broke down into sobs. Shelby, honey, please don't cry. I'm so sorry I hurt you. If I could do my whole life over, I'd go right back to that day and fix it so you'd never have to be so hurt. I swear to God, on Noah's life, the only woman I love is you. The only woman I want is you.
I'm trying so hard to get past it, Avery, because I love you so much. I want to believe you when you say I'm the only one.
He wrapped both arms around her. You are, sweetheart. I swear you are.
I don't know how to get past it.
Rosemary suggested you come in with me to figure that out. Would you be willing?
Yes, of course. If she thinks she can help us, I want to do it.
Oh, good, he said, breathing a sigh of relief. That's good.
Did you think I wouldn't want to?
I wasn't sure. I wouldn't have blamed you if you were over me. She drew back from him and looked up, her face tear-stained, her eyes big.
I'm not over you. I want to put this behind us so we can get on with our lives. I've missed you, Avery. Bending his head, he captured her lips in a sweet, soft kiss, the first one in longer than he could remember.
I've missed you too, sweetheart. We're going to put this back on track, I swear. She burrowed into his embrace, seeming as desperate to be close to him as he was to be close to her. As long as she clung to him, he had hope that they could get past their troubles.
Nick was on his way out of the White House to head home when he encountered his longtime friend, Derek Kavanaugh, President Nelson's deputy chief of staff.
Could I have a word, please, Mr. Vice President?
The formality rankled him, even though he knew it was necessary within these four walls.
Of course.
Nick followed Derek to a conference room and shut the door behind them, while Brant stood watch outside.
What's up?
We heard you were called to testify, and the president is wondering what you're going to say.
If I testify, I'll answer the questions I'm asked truthfully.
What do you mean, if?
My inclination is to refuse their kind invitation to tell my side of the story.
Why?
Because I don't want to be president. Not like this, anyway. If I go up to the Hill and answer their questions, he won't be able to recover.
He swears to God that he had nothing to do with Christopher's plot. He and Mrs. Nelson are horrified by what their son did.
So he said, several times now.
You don't believe him?
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I've known him a long time, worked closely with him for years, and I've never seen any inkling of the sort of evil that would have to be present in a person to threaten the lives of innocent children, not to mention the rest of it.
You mean torturing my wife's ex-husband? Or hiring my deadbeat mother to smear me?
Yeah, that too. It's not how he's wired, Nick.
I'm not the one you need to convince. Congress is running this show, not me. All eyes are on you, and you have to know that. I heard Hallowell called you about a VP.
Where'd you hear that?
From Hallowell. I'll tell you the same thing I told him. I'm not talking about a potential VP until I have to, and we're a long way from that.
I don't know if we are.
What does that mean? Nick asked, immediately on guard.
Nelson is talking more about what's best for the country.
And?
He's considering all his options, up to and including resigning.
He can't do that.
Well, actually, he can, and I can assure you he'll put the country ahead of himself. The latest polls show the American people have lost confidence in his leadership since his son's arrest. He's taking those numbers to heart. A sense of panic, the kind he only felt when Sam was in danger, seized Nick.
What happened to his plan to fight to the finish?
We might be staring down the finish line, Derek said grimly. Nick took a closer look at his longtime friend and noticed how exhausted he seemed. The controversy had taken a toll on a lot of people.
I don't want him to resign.
It might not be up to you.
It was my family that was threatened, and if I don't want him to resign, that should count for something.
I'm sure it would, if you were to say so publicly. But you've been stubbornly silent for weeks. No one knows where you stand. And here they'd arrived at the point of this conversation.
Are you asking me to make a statement?
I'm suggesting a statement from both of you might not be a bad idea. Unless, of course, you're eager to be president. Soon.
Nick's gaze locked with Derek's. Neither of them blinked for the longest time.
Finally, Nick looked away.
I'll consult with my team.
Derek nodded and moved toward the door.
Derek.
He turned back.
If he is forced to resign, I hope I can count on your support.
You always have my support, Nick. You know that. He walked out, leaving Nick alone to consider the massive implications of what he'd been told. Before he did anything, he needed to talk to Sam. The damage done by Christopher Nelson had a much bigger impact on her, since her ex-husband had been murdered, her nieces and nephews threatened. Despite the president's assurances about his innocence, nagging doubts remained. If he was involved, Nick hated the idea of handing him a pass. He ought to be forced to resign if he'd been involved in the commission of murder and other felonies, which is why Nick hesitated to support the president, who'd picked him to be his vice president, hoping to boost his own popularity. Since then, he'd treated Nick like a lowly servant, rather than a partner in governing. Technically, he owed the guy nothing. On the way home, he continued to consider his options. When the motorcade pulled onto 9th Street, he saw Sam getting out of Freddie's old Mustang, and was surprised to see her home so early. He didn't wait for Brant to open the door. Rather, he jumped out and stopped short at the sight of the massive bruise on her swollen face.
What the hell happened?
Hello, dear. How was your day?
Samantha.
So there was this cop, you see, who wasn't where he was supposed to be, and our investigation into the shootings uncovered his extramarital affair. As the father of five children with another one on the way, he wasn't too happy with me, seeing as how he's now in trouble at home and work. One thing led to another, and here we are. His eyes flashing with fury, Nick said,
"He hit you?"
He did. Nick took her by the arm and marched her up the ramp, past the stunned agent at the door, who did a double take at the sight of her face.
"Is everything all right, sir?"
he asked.
"Yes," Nick said through gritted teeth. "Just another day in my life with Samantha Holland Capuano," he wanted to say.
He directed her into the kitchen and sat her in a chair. That she was so unusually agreeable to being manhandled alarmed him, and had him wondering if she was more hurt than she'd let on. In the freezer, he found an ice pack that he held to her face.
"Tell me he's in trouble."
"Uh-huh." They suspended him.
And charged him, I hope.
I asked them not to.
What? Why?
Because I wasn't charged for punching Ramsay. If I insist on charges against Offenbach, everyone will scream favoritism.
Ramsay deserved it. You did not.
And you're not even slightly biased.
No, I'm not. It's not your fault this guy wasn't where he was supposed to be, or that he was off having an affair. And it was definitely Ramsay's fault that he said you got what you deserved from Stahl.
I'm batting 1,000 this week with 3 officers suspended because of me.
Ramsay, Offenbach, and who else?
Conklin. He pulled the ice pack from her face.
What happened with him?
Sam explained how Conklin had hidden the fact that a retired officer was missing for 2 weeks.
Why would he do that?
He was concerned that Wallach had fallen off the wagon after years of sobriety and was trying to protect him.
Damn.
Yeah, so as you can see, I'm really racking up the points with my colleagues. Nick sat in the chair next to her and gently applied the ice pack to her face.
Each of them did this to themselves, Sam. Conklin hid the fact that the retired guy was missing. The other was with his mistress when he was supposed to be somewhere else. And Ramsay lost his shit when he heard you weren't going to be indicted. You didn't do any of those things. They did.
I know, she said, shoulders sagging with dejection that alarmed him.
Do you? Do you really know that they all got in trouble because of stuff they did?
Yeah, I guess. I just hate how trouble seems to find me in that department when I'm only trying to do my job.
You're up against several tough obstacles. One, the old boys' network resents a woman as successful as you are at your job. Two, your father's legacy in the department makes for a tough slog for you. And three, you do the right thing all the time, even when it's not the easy thing to do. That's more than they can say.
Sam smiled at him.
What? He asked.
Annoyed for some reason.
Nothing. I just love you. He leaned his forehead against hers. That's good, because I just love you too.
Thanks for sticking up for me.
I'll always stick up for you.
I know. That's why I wanted to come home. I needed a little dose of you after a rough day.
Is your rough day over?
For now. We're closing in on these guys, building a case. We've got DNA from the car and the attack on Angel. We've got a sketch artist working with her. And she heard one of the attackers get a call that his mother had died. So we're taking her to Wakes, hoping to find them.
That's a genius idea.
It's my genius idea.
Of course it is.
After a moment of silence, he said,
"How's your face feeling?"
Numb. Nick removed the ice pack, wincing at the huge bruise that extended from her mouth to her eye, which was swelling shut. We don't have any official White House shit coming up, do we? Because I don't think Tracy's stage makeup could cover this mess. Nick laughed, even though there was nothing funny about seeing her injured. Again.
No, nothing this week.
But I had an interesting conversation with Derek this afternoon. He filled her in on what his friend had said. So they're thinking if we publicly back Nelson, then maybe he can hold on to his presidency?
That's the general idea.
How do you feel about that?
I have mixed feelings. Part of me doesn't believe for a second that he didn't know. But a bigger part of me doesn't want to be president. Not now, anyway. And not like this.
He tucked a strand of hair behind her ear.
Derek said it would have to come from both of us, seeing as how your ex-husband was killed and your family members threatened too. What do you think?
Before we decide anything, I'd want to meet with the Nelsons. I want to see their eyes when they tell us they knew nothing about it. I'll know if they're lying.
That's a great idea. I'll ask Terry to set it up, and we'll go from there.
Will you still have to testify?
I've let them know I'm uninterested in testifying at this time.
What did they say to that?
Nothing yet. Unless they subpoena me to appear, I won't say a word to anyone. Not until after we see the whites of the Nelsons' eyes, and my detective tells me whether we can trust them when they say they didn't know.
Sounds like a plan.
Are you hungry?
You know me. I could always eat. My ass is living proof of that.
I love your ass. Don't you dare speak poorly of my favorite ass.
He got up to see what Shelby had left for them. In the fridge, he found a covered dish with instructions to heat at 375 for 30 minutes. Lifting the foil, his mouth watered at the sight of enchiladas.
What is it? Sam asked.
Enchiladas.
Her moan had him thinking of things other than food.
That'll go straight to my ass.
More for me to love.
He put the dish in the oven and turned it on.
30 minutes. Drink?
Yes, please. Nick opened a bottle of white wine and poured them both a glass, bringing them to the table where he rejoined her.
Does it hurt?
Not too bad. We probably ought to let our White House people know that the press is going to be buzzing about why the second lady's face is bruised and swollen. I don't want anyone saying you did it. Nick blanched at the thought of anyone saying such a thing.
I hate living in a world where we have to worry about that.
As do I. But it is the world we live in. Sam withdrew her phone and called Lilia Van Nostrand, her chief of staff at the White House. Mrs. Capuano, Lilia said.
Sam.
They had this argument almost every time they spoke.
Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you?
If you're not busy, I wondered if you might stop by the house tonight to discuss a few things.
Of course. What time is good for you?
Any time after 7:30.
I'll be there. I look forward to seeing you.
Me too. Slapping her phone closed, Sam laughed and then winced. She looks forward to seeing me. Wait until she gets a load of the mess on my face.
She's learned to expect just about anything where you're concerned.
Sam's eyes lit up the way they did when she was excited about something. I'm having the most awesome idea.
What's that?
I really think we should ask Harry over to check my face, she said with a calculating look. I mean, it could be another concussion.
Nick eyed her skeptically. What are you up to, Samantha?
I haven't heard a word from Lilia or Harry about whether they ever got together. I need information.
You're shameless, babe. And P.S., what happened to not wanting your world to collide with mine?
She'd been less than thrilled at first when Lindsay got together with Terry and Gonzo with Christina, but she'd gotten over their worlds colliding eventually. For the most part, anyway.
Please.
Lilia and Harry are both from your world. Nick laughed at the disdainful way she said that.
Where's my kid, anyway? She asked.
He must be upstairs since his motorcade is out there, Nick said. What do you suppose the odds are that he's doing his homework?
Slim to none. If he's a smart man, he's napping while he can. He scowled at her.
I'll go see what he's up to. Try not to get injured or maimed or anything else while I'm gone.
I'll try my best to stay out of trouble.
That'll be the day.
Nick went upstairs to knock on the door to Scotty's room, nodding to Darcy, the agent on duty in the hallway. When there was no answer, he stuck his head in to find his son sound asleep. He had to laugh. Sam had called that. Since they had a little time before dinner, he left him to sleep and went back downstairs.
You called it. He's napping.
That's my boy.
He'll never go to college at this rate.
Yes, he will. He's going to be a rock star just like his dad.
If his mother doesn't ruin him first.
Despite my bluster, I do have 2 degrees, I'll have you know. How many do you have, nerd boy? She raised the brow on the side of her face that wasn't swollen.
1 less than you.
Smiling, Nick took a sip from his wine glass.
I have a hard time picturing you in graduate school.
It wasn't pretty, but I got the piece of paper, which is more than you can say, I might add.
Ouch. Low blow, babe. I am the Vice President of the United States, you know.
Am I supposed to be impressed by that?
He laughed. Please don't be. It's a huge drag.
Sam's phone rang, and she took the call, mouthing the word Malone to him. At least it wasn't dispatch.
Hey, what's up?
She listened for a minute, her focus intent on whatever the captain was telling her. Let's get it right to the lab. I want confirmation that these are the same guys who had the first car and assaulted Angel. She listened some more. I'm fine. It's gonna be a hell of a bruise, though.
Already is, Nick mumbled.
How are the sketch artists making out with Angel?
She sighed.
Maybe she'll feel more up to it tomorrow. After listening, she sat up straighter, and her breathing changed.
Like what?
Why didn't the wife tell us that? After a pause, she said, I like where this is heading. Keep me posted and call me if anything else pops. She slapped the phone closed. They found the red SUV abandoned downtown, and it turns out that Wallach has a stepson from his first marriage who's been in a lot of trouble over the years. The detectives working the missing persons case are trying to track him down.
Those are good developments.
Yeah, it's moving in the right direction. I just hope no one else has to die before we nail these bastards. Chapter 27 After dinner with Nick and Scotty, Sam took to the sofa with a fresh ice pack. Not that it did much to alleviate the swelling that had her eye nearly closed. She took a call from Jeannie.
What's up?
How's your face?
Ugly and swollen.
I hope he gets in a lot of trouble.
He was already in a lot of trouble before he hit me.
What's going on?
I wanted to tell you that I have leads on 3 local wakes tomorrow for women in the age range we're looking for. Ironically, all of them have sons with names that start with the letter D. I sent you an email with all the info.
Good work. Keep your eye out for more that may come online overnight.
Will do. I also wanted to tell you that I went back to the hospital just now and brought Michael with me this time. We had a good talk with Angel and Roberto and made ourselves available to them for anything they need going forward. I hope it helped a little.
I'm sure it helped a lot. Thanks for doing that, Jeannie.
Thanks for asking me. It's good for my recovery to know I might be helping someone else. But enough about me. This thing with Offenbach is just unreal. Are you sure you're okay?
I'm fine. Just a little damage to my ugly mug.
Fortunately, there are no state dinners or other public obligations on the calendar for the next week or two. It's unbelievable that he thinks he can just assault you that way.
He's in a lot of trouble and needs someone to blame. I was handy.
Carlucci told me his wife kicked him out and is filing for divorce and sole custody of the kids.
She didn't waste any time.
Would you if you were her? 5 kids and a 6th on the way and he's off having an affair? A, I never have to worry about my husband doing what hers did. And B, I'd do the same thing if I were in her shoes, which I will never be.
So would I. Although I'm too newly married to ever even consider such a thing. I feel sick for her. 6 children and he's off having a fling. It's disgusting. Everyone is talking about it at HQ. There's plenty of other skeletons and closets in that building. People should keep their yap shut.
Yeah. The day that happens around here, there'll also be pigs flying in hell.
Sam chuckled. Very true.
The agent working the front door admitted Lilia, and Sam waved her in. She wore a sharp-looking yellow summer suit with sky-high heels and her trademark pearls. Her dark hair was cut into a chin-length bob, and her brown eyes conveyed warmth and affection. Sam had been prepared to despise her, but had grown to adore Lilia for her sense of style, her insane organization skills, her insider knowledge of Washington's inner workings, and her willingness to roll with the craziness Sam had brought to her well-ordered life since becoming second lady.
Hey, Jeannie, I have to run. Call me if anything new pops.
Will do. Feel better.
Thanks. Lilia approached the sofa and stopped short when she caught a look at Sam's face.
Oh, my Lord. What happened?
I caught a fellow officer in flagrante delicto, and since he's married with 5 kids and a 6th on the way, and was supposed to be at a work conference and not frolicking in Atlantic City with his mistress, he failed to appreciate my superior investigative skills. Lilia sat in an easy chair across from Sam.
He hit you?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my goodness.
She cringed as she took a closer look at the damage to Sam's face.
How can that just happen at a place of work?
My place of work is a whole lot different than yours. Still, it's uncivilized. Sam laughed. Perfect word to summarize police work in general.
And politics, especially lately. What can I do to help?
Well, if you know a talented makeup artist. She pulled out her smartphone.
I can find someone.
I have no doubt you could, but I was kidding. My primary concern is that someone will say that my husband did this. I want to know how we should handle it since I can't exactly hide it.
We'll issue a statement that you were involved in an automobile accident and then assaulted on the job. Lieutenant Holland is back to work after being hospitalized overnight and is working to catch the perpetrators of the recent spate of drive-by shootings that have terrorized district residents.
Damn, you're good.
Thank you. That's my job. And I don't think anyone would dare to say your husband hurt you when the whole world can see that he's mad about you.
Yes, he is, Nick said when he joined them, unleashing that potent smile on poor Lilia, who flushed. Sam held out a hand to him, and he sat with her on the sofa. Lilia already has the perfect statement to explain away my latest disaster.
Excellent, Nick said, squeezing Sam's hand.
Needless to say, we're being overrun with requests for comments about the current situation from you both. I wonder if you've given any thought to a public statement?
Sam glanced at Nick, nodding.
We have, and our plan is to meet with the Nelsons, he said. Depending on how that goes, we'll either make a statement expressing our support for the President and First Lady, or I'll testify in the hearings.
That's very interesting, Lilia said. Do you mind me asking what you hope to gain from the meeting?
I want to see their eyes when they tell us they had nothing to do with it, Sam said. I'll know if they're lying.
I see.
Do you approve? Sam asked.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter if I approve.
It matters to me.
Then yes, I approve. I think it's a good idea for you to speak directly to them and have the chance to ask your questions and determine whether they're sincere.
That's good to know.
You should also know that just about everyone who works for you and the Nelsons is on edge about what's going to happen. The White House is fraught with a nearly unbearable level of tension.
I've seen that myself, Nick said, and I'm sorry it's come to that.
You have nothing to be sorry about, Lilia said fiercely. This was done to you, not the other way around.
The more time Sam spent with Lilia, the more she liked her. And she wasn't known for liking a lot of people.
We appreciate your loyalty, Nick said.
It's my pleasure to serve you both.
She reached into the briefcase she'd brought and retrieved a document.
I took the liberty of compiling some additional information about Christopher Nelson that you may not be aware of. Such as, did you know he was expelled from 4 different boarding schools?
We had no idea, Nick said.
He also has a sealed juvenile record.
That I did know, Sam said. We had no luck getting a judge to unseal it during the investigation.
I haven't seen his actual record, but people talk. And the word is he was heavily into drugs, dealing and doing, which is what got him kicked out of school. His father was a prominent senator from South Dakota, who swept his son's misdeeds under the rug to keep them from becoming public.
He basically set him up for what came later by valuing his political career more than his own son. Sam said, glancing at Nick.
That sounds familiar.
Graham O'Connor made similar mistakes with John and paid for them dearly, Nick said.
Knowing how painful it was to think about what had become of his best friend and boss, Sam cradled his hand between both of hers, wishing she could crawl into his lap and wrap her arms around him the way she would have if they'd been alone.
He sent her a small grin, letting her know he appreciated her support. Their silent communication was another thing to love about him. I'll just leave this here in case you need it. Lilia placed the report on the coffee table. Everything in there has been substantiated by at least 2 people who would know. I hope I can count on your discretion in not revealing your source.
You can absolutely count on our discretion, Sam said. We appreciate the limb you went out on to put that together.
I wanted to make sure you have all the information you need.
She pulled another piece of paper from her bag.
On another note, we've received dozens of new requests for you to speak at events pertaining to fertility,
learning challenges, paralysis, and law enforcement, to name a few. I'll leave this here, and you can let me know if any of the invitations interest you. Sam had received rave reviews for her keynote address to the fertility group. We're still getting emails from women who were touched by your infertility journey, Lilia said, producing another stack of pages that she placed next to the others on the table. I printed out a sampling of them that I thought you might enjoy.
Wow, it's so nice of them to write to me.
You can't know how much you touched people who've shared your struggle. For them to know that someone like you has been where they are is so helpful to them. The staff has been reduced to tears by some of their letters.
Someone like me? I'm just a regular person.
Nick and Lilia laughed at that.
Sure you are, babe. Just a regular girl running around putting murderers in jail while serving as the country's second lady.
Lilia pointed to Nick.
What he said.
The front door opened, and in walked Dr. Harry Flynn. His gaze immediately locked on Lilia, who flushed an even brighter shade of pink this time.
Very, very interesting.
Hello there, Harry said as he joined them,
appearing to have come straight from work, judging by the white dress shirt and pinstripe navy tie he still wore. He had dark hair and eyes and dimples that were nothing short of dreamy.
I hear our favorite cop/second lady has gotten herself into yet another scrape.
You heard correctly, Sam said, flashing the injured side of her face. Combined with the bruise under the butterfly bandage on her forehead, she was a hot mess.
Yikes.
Tipping his head for a better look, he said,
I think it's actually an improvement.
Ha ha, Sam said. Very funny.
I hope the other guy looks worse.
I never laid a hand on him. I've learned my lesson about using my fists on the job.
Is he at least in jail?
Nope. Sam told him about her encounter with Offenbach and the reasons for his ire.
Damn, Harry said. Imagine having 5 kids and another on the way and deciding to have an affair. People suck.
Lilia, Sam noticed, hung on his every word. The idea of the two of them together made Sam giddy with happiness. She adored Nick's longtime friend and had wanted to find someone perfect for him. Lilia more than met the criteria, as far as Sam was concerned. Nick offered their guests drinks, and the four of them passed an entertaining hour discussing the latest goings-on in Washington, as well as Sam's vexing case. When they got up to leave, Sam asked Lilia how she had gotten there.
I took a cab.
I'm sure Harry would be glad to give you a ride home, wouldn't you, Harry?
Of course,
he said with an indulgent smile for Sam, as Lilia's face flushed an adorable shade of scarlet once again. If Sam was any judge of character, and she liked to think she had a superior handle on human nature, her chief of staff had a big bad thing for their friend, and vice versa. It was all she could do to contain her giddiness until they had departed.
And you say I suck at subtlety, Nick said when they were alone.
What are you talking about? That was smooth as silk.
I was thinking more along the lines of bull in a china shop.
She glared at him as best she could with one working eye. You want to be in another fight?
Absolutely not.
Grinning, he helped her up from the sofa.
I'd much rather go to bed and snuggle my matchmaking wife.
Amused by him, not that she'd ever let on, she said,
I thought you might say that.
Mortifying, Lilia said, when she was settled in the passenger seat of Harry's black Porsche Panamera.
What was?
He asked, as he navigated the Secret Service checkpoint at the end of 9th Street.
Mrs. Capuano's shameless matchmaking.
Mrs. Capuano, he said with a chuckle. It sounds so funny to hear her called that.
That's who she is.
She's just Sam to me.
I can't call her that, even though she wants me to.
You could, but you won't. Big difference.
It's not professional.
He reached across the console and took her hand, loving the way she tensed before relaxing again.
You're the very epitome of professional, and calling her Sam when you're alone with her wouldn't make you any less so. She likes you. She doesn't like anyone.
Yes, she does.
No, she really doesn't. But I don't want to talk about her. I want to talk about why I haven't heard from you when you told me you'd call me.
I've been busy. All this business with the Nelsons and Capuanos has been...